As we gather and sit before the Lord in this closing moment of 2020, which has been a historic year by various ways, I think. You know, to begin with, I think COVID pandemic is historic. Nobody who exists right now have seen something like this ever for the last 100 years. Okay. And what about the presidential election this year? Historic. It's a historic event right now, right? And I don't want to mention anything, but we're yet to see what's going to happen, okay? What about the economy? What about the health? And we have lost some our brothers and sisters this year. You know, it's funny because we are forgetful. During March and April, everybody was nervous. But now we kind of like forgot about that. But that's been the year, right? But tonight, I want us to be gathered and sit before the Lord and think before the Lord, which is a great thing to do if you have never learned it, right? And more importantly, seek and ask His heart. And tonight, I want us to think about two things. Number one, my relationship with the world. What is my relationship with the world? How am I doing with the world? And the second thing we want us to think about is my relationship with the Lord. And they go always together, right? And a key thought or the theme that I would propose is holiness. Holiness, okay? And using John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus, and it is known as the high priestly prayer. And Jesus completed his sacrifice, and it is once and for all done on the cross. Now he's done with that sacrifice. So he was ascended, coronated, sitting at the right hand of God as our eternal high priest. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us. That's why we could have secure salvation. Because of his intercessory prayer. Because of God is our keeper. Right? So what we see in John chapter 17, which is before the cross, is sort of like the trailer or preview. It's sort of like that, isn't it? And I asked this question last Sunday, but what do you pray for? You pray for something that is in your heart. What God places in your heart. What is important to you. Who is important to you. And who is Jesus praying for? Right? And what do you pray for them? When you pray for someone important in your life, what do you pray for them? In a best way, the person that really matters to me will live according to the will of God and for the glory of God. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. And we could see sort of like the preview of the heart of Jesus through John chapter 17. It's an exciting chapter. It's a great chapter. You know, I spent a whole week preparing for tonight as well as this coming Sunday. This verses, I'll speak about it not this coming Sunday, but the week after. Okay? So I want us to look at six verses divided nicely in three verses, 14, 15, 16. Talks about my relationship as a saint with the world. And 17, 18, 19, three verses, my relationship with the Lord. Okay, that's what we want to talk about. And the overriding theme is holiness. Holiness. Okay, so verse 14 says, I have given them, the disciples, I have given them your word. That's the key thing. That's the key thing. And the world has hated them. So first thing we see is, in Jesus' teaching, is that the relationship between the saints and the world is very, very sharply divided. And I hope it is divided in your heart as well. Right? Sharply divided. The world hated them because of the word that I have given them. Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And the second thing we see is that my relationship as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, is not, I am not of the world. Is that how you lived? Okay. And that phrase is repeated like four times. I use that, you know, yellow color. Not of the world, not of the world, not of the world, not of the world. How not of the world am I? I am not of the world just as Jesus is not of the world. My question to you is, how much is Jesus of the of the world? Nothing. So, bottom line is, my relationship with the world, I am not of the world. And that's the biblical teaching. Okay? So, just as I am not of the world, we are not of the world. So what is the relationship? What is the attitude of the world toward the disciples and Christians? The world hated them. Hated them. Make no mistake about it, people. So many people that I know are clueless about this. But it is repeated in the scripture. The world here, the cosmos that we are talking about, is referring to that world system, cosmos, that runs and operates by the evil one, Satan, who diametrically opposes God and Christ and his truth and the gospel and his people. And we are living in the world, but not of the world. Is that clear? That's what the scripture teaches. And why is that? Because Jesus said, I have given them your word. That's the determinative factor. What separates saints from the world is the word of God. I'm not talking about we got to do more, have a Bible study more. I'm not talking about we need to do QT more. Nothing like that. It is the word of God. Is it living and active in your heart, in your soul? Or else you are not listening to the word of God, living just like the world. That's what separates the two. It's the determinative factor. For the disciples and saints, they know the word of God. They receive the word of God. They believe the word of God. They love the word of God. And they keep the word of God. Everything is word of God. And for the world, they reject the word of God, they hate the word of God, they disobey the word of God, and does not know the truth. I was reading this article, you know, I don't study the word of God that much. Then what do you think about? How do you think then? If you're not living and thinking by the truth, you are thinking by something that is not true, which we call that lie. And you may be thinking, oh, that's not so bad. Yes, it is. You know why? Because sin came into this world by distorting the truth just a little bit. Right? In Genesis chapter 3. And listening to lies again and again and again, and sin, which is in our nature, and it corrupts your mind and way of thinking further and further. And that is no small thing. And I'm praying that as you are spending this just last moments of this year, if you are not in the truth, you are living by something that is not true. And it corrupts your soul more and more. Verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of this world, but you keep them from the evil one. You know what? Jesus is proposing the problem. You are not of the world and the world hates you, but you are not coming out of the world, but you're going to stay in the world. You will be living in this world. And Jesus is praying to protect you from evil one. You know who that is? Satan. The reason we could persevere as saints until the final day is because of his intercession of our high priest and the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Word of God is the determinative factor. And we are not of the world, but we are living in the world. Think about your life right now. Okay? Lastly, verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Have you noticed? He repeats exactly the same phrase twice, verse 14 and 16. That's how important it is. I ask you to think about whether you live 2020 as disciples or part of the world. Second thing I want us to think about is our relationship with the Lord. Okay? Sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. You know what the heart of God is in Jesus' prayer? His prayer is that sanctify them, make them holy. That's his prayer. Just as you would pray for someone you care about, what is best for them, Jesus is praying for saints, sanctify them, make them holy. Holiness is the central attribute of God, and also holiness is the plan of God for his people. Remember that? We learned this in Attributes of God. It's the central attribute. What holiness means is two tenets. It has two tenets. One is the transcendent greatness. And he's just so much greater. And when we say holy, he sets him apart from everything else of all creation and all the idols. There is no one like him. He is in the league and the category of his own. That's what holiness is, being separated from the rest. Okay, transcendent greatness. That's how great he is. And the second tenet is his perfect purity. Infinite purity. Hatred toward evil. Sin. Okay, that's his attribute. And his plan for you and God's people is holiness. That's what the cross is. You need to come to the cross if you want to walk as a saint. It's the perfect, infinite holiness we are called to. Therefore, nothing else could do it. Only through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ we could come to him. Okay? So how do we become holy? It is the truth, and your word is the truth. How is your life with the word of God? No, seriously. I'm not saying, are you in the Bible study? Are you reading the Word of God? I mean, I hope so. But the real question is the Word of God something living and active and leading your life? Knowing, receiving, believing, obeying, loving, and trusting? That's what saint is. Tonight, I ask you to think about this. Okay? Holiness means separation. You are holy people. I just pray you're called to be a holy people, separated. Just as God is holy, we are holy people. So he cleansed us, infinite purity, by the blood of Christ, so that we could be sent into the world. Just like Isaiah chapter 6, holiness is always related to sending. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? God asked. And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Right? When God comes upon you, holiness comes upon you, you want to be sent. Okay? And I really ask you to think about that today. Just the last verse. And for their sake, I sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. For your sake, Jesus sanctified himself, referring to his death and the cross. Through this, you're holy. Through this, he calls you to live life of holiness. Would you think about that tonight?